This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Back of the Nest preview show, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. I'm your host Terence Ford, and as a second lockdown looms, Albert emerges from the shadows once more to join Esketh in building us up to Leeds' visit to Selhurst Park for a first Premier League meeting between the two sides in almost 22 years.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, everyone. So, Albert, you're back. You didn't even tell us where you went last week.
Mother-in-law's birthday, mate.
Really?
Sometimes you just got to, get that stuff done, haven't you?
You just got to see to the mother-in-law.
Stop it. Yeah, it was weird. We went to a restaurant where you get put in like, I nearly called it the Millennium Eye. Have you been on the London Eye?
Yes.
Well, imagine one of those pods, half the size, with a dining table in it, and you're in a garden freezing cold with like no atmosphere inside the pod, and people are like bringing you quite good food, to be fair, through a little window.
Sounds like
it's very strange.
A shit early 2000s reality TV show.
It was a bit.
There was a show like that. Come Dine With Me, but like in my garden kind of thing. Definitely.
What was the one where Richard Blackmore wanked off a pig?
wasn't that a Black Mirror episode?
I'll look it up. Somebody definitely had to wank off a pig.
Well, unsurprisingly, Albert remembers that. Esketh, welcome to the show.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Albert, who obviously wasn't here last week, turned up this week and then had us play Guess What I'm Eating. So that was a great start to the evening.
I could have played Guess What Animal I'm Wanking Off.
The answer would have been the same.
Mind you, if you would have...
The joke's on you, it's me!
If you would have rubbed that pickle chilli, it would have probably sounded pretty much...
Yeah, you have just reminded me that I do need to wash my hands thoroughly before I go to bed tonight.
No, you need to rub your eyes first, I think.
I did that a couple of weeks ago. It was terrible.
Okay, right. Well, first, I'm gasping.
I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer? I'm going to leave you three to it, man.
So I finally got round to drinking my Saturated in Idaho 7, which is a DIPA. It's 8%, Albert. 8%. And you'd be pleased to know, this can doesn't come with any ridiculous blurb. I looked everywhere for one. It's just not on there.
Well, it's an improvement, mate. It is an improvement.
And it is lovely.
Can you give us a description in the sort of wanky terms that you have on
the can? You've been tasked with writing the blurb.
It's hoppy. I don't really know what else to say about it. It's just very hoppy and very strong. It's 8%. Yeasty.
Put that on your can.
Yeasty. Put that on your can, yeah. You went and got a beer, Albert.
I did. I got a topical beer. I got the king of beers, the Budweiser.
Yeah, what happened to that like box of beer you ordered that time and then got loads of fancy ones? It was a once in a lifetime event.
Well, that was a gift to the wife from someone. I think there's still a couple of gnarly bottles rattling around the back of the fridge, but they look very suspect. I'll maybe next week I'll humour you and see what it is.
Ask if you, what was it, a glass of wine whilst watching the election?
I have been on the wine this week, but I'm drinking water. Mm. How uninspiring.
As always. I mean, lockdown's starting now. You've got to get back on the beers with everyone else, okay?
I've got Bud in the fridge. I just can't be bothered to go down. See, Albert is more motivated to go and get his beer. I can't be bothered, so I'll have water.
Okay. We're going to start this week talking about this headline of Brighton ace Neil Morpay. Neil is such a shit name, by the way. Was axed from the squad to face Tottenham due to concerns over the Frenchman's inflated ego, with manager Graham Potter keen to put him in his place despite having no other recognised striker. Hesketh, does he have an inflated ego?
What, the guy that shushed the family stand? And then did the crying eyes to an empty stand during lockdown.
I wouldn't be able to give away an injury time penalty.
That's probably the highlight of my season, to be honest. The gif of him doing the crying eyes cut to his face when the penalty is given, when he's sort of staring into space and realizing that his life's an absolute mess. Mm. I thought it was a brilliant story to come out, because I mean, I thought he was a twat anyway. Whether he plays for Brighton or not, I thought he was a twat, but it's nice to know that even the soppy PE teacher thinks he is as well.
Nice. I went on to the Brighton forum and a lot of them referring to him as Billy Big Bollocks. So it's kind of mixed feelings about him over there. But I mean, he's French, Hesketh, so what do you expect, right?
No, I've disowned him. You don't count.
So he's probably going to have to do some apologising, a bit like WADA had to do some apologising to Mamadou Sakho today. That's the anti-doping agency, for those who don't know. They've said, we accept that Mr. Sakho did not breach the UEFA anti-doping regulations, did not cheat, had no intention of gaining any advantage, and acted in good faith. Now, this refers back to a 2016 incident where he failed a test. I think it was after a Europa League game, but it was all legit and above board and wasn't a banned substance, and he was taking it for genuine dieting reasons, I believe it was. And they said that they now believe he wasn't cheating, and they've had to pay him severe damages, saying we regret the damage the defamatory allegations caused Mr. Sacco's reputation and the distress, hurt and embarrassment caused to him. Now, Albert, these tablets he was taking, dieting pills, mate.
I mean, it seems weird that a professional, and this isn't me like going all wider and casting aspersions, but it seems that it seems odd that a professional sports person needs to take diet pills.
He's a big lad though, isn't he? You can see him going all Neil Shipley when he retires.
Whoa, hang on.
It'll be taking you to court.
Say, mate, you better lawyer up, geezer.
Wait, not all the way, Shifley.
Fucking hell.
Oh, mate.
You've thrown me. What were we talking about? Budweiser.
Yeah, partway, Shifley. Shall we say Jamie Pollock instead?
No, just don't. Yeah, just don't. Compare him to Shipley.
Although Hesketh, it says it didn't intend to cheat. I mean, what was that? What was the game where he gave away all those goals? If that's him trying to cheat, I'm trying to think what else is going. I'm going to have to move on from this. It's killed me.
Anyway, it's good that he's been he's in the clear.
He's in the clear. Exactly. The clear. Definitely will not turn into Neil Shipley. Great work.
Oh, you said it again.
We've had some stadium development news come out. A briefing. Oh, wait, no, sorry. So this is basically saying that a lot's been agreed effectively on replacing the housing. Sadiq Khan's given planning permission. Bus stops have been agreed. £350,000 in improvement, things like that. So, but there's still a lot of way to go. However, what was quite amusing was this was a story on Inside Croydon. And of course, our very own Back of the Nest, Chris Clark, is a Labour councillor. And it said in this article, a briefing on the project for councillors will take place at tomorrow night's planning committee, due to be chaired by the utterly impartial Chris Clark, or at Chris Clark CPFC, as he is known on Twitter, pointing to a picture of him wearing a Crystal Palace face mask, which was highly... And now, Heskey, obviously, this seems like it's unfair in terms of, you know, he clearly has an interest in this, but he's assured me that the decision's already been taken by the officers to have him as the chair. He's literally doing nothing other than just calling the officer to speak about what's been agreed, and then invite any councillors who may have questions to speak. But he's been getting
boss pointing a gun at them.
Getting a little bit of abuse.
This is good, isn't it?
Yes, you will do this. I mean, Chris is the least scariest person in the world, so I'm not sure that would really deter people. But there you go. But he's got a bit of abuse today, hasn't he? What's that? Nick Gillard wasn't having any of it. But anyway, yeah, so still Sainsbury's, we've got to negotiate with them over the car park to make, I don't know, our fan zone bigger, I guess. So yeah, there's still some way to go there, and then we're going to have to get planning permission to actually build the new houses, which, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, especially if you start crossing over boroughs and things, which you can do very quickly in Crystal Palace and Norwood. So still a way to go on that. Now, Heskey, the main stand could be named after Wilfried Zaha. It's a legitimate shout, you know, especially if it takes a few more years to build. By that point, he would have solidified, especially if he's still here. But for Wilfried Zaha, it's on to the next one, because he's joined Roc Nation Sports in an attempt to finally seal a move away to a Champions League club. According to his lyrics, Jay-Z says, I can sell ice in the winter. I can sell fire in hell. I'm a hustler, baby. I'll sell water to a whale. So if anyone can get him a move, it's going to be Ace of the Izzo. But Albert.
As long as he brings Beyonce, that's
well,
fun,
yeah,
that.
Be a good show. Now, Albert, is there any truth in the rumours that Jay-Z opened his meeting with Wilfried Zaha by saying, I've got 99 problems, but Parrish ain't one?
Probably not.
Was it even at the meeting?
Probably not. Yeah, I didn't know that Jay-Z had a sports branch of you know, his commercial ventures. But, I mean, does it just mean it's more likely that Wilf's going to leave? I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, chuff for him. Because it's all about, you know, it's all motivated by essentially wanting to leave the club, which he's perfectly within his rights to do. And I wish him well, whatever happens, but I can't sit here and punch the air that Wilf's got a new agent.
Well, Heskey, if you were saying that Nathan Ferguson's always also with Roc Nation.
Yeah, and he got his dream move, didn't he? So I think what they're going to do is say, look, we spoke to Nathan. He said the best club in the world is Palace. So you're not going anywhere. Pipe down. You're doing well. And we'll name the stand after you.
Or do you reckon Wilf can be in his ear saying, look, Jay, P. Diddy was once linked with buying us. how about you finally fulfill the dream of all Palace fans to have a major hip-hop artist run the club, and he could take us to Champions League glory himself?
I mean, I wouldn't say no to that. I think Wilf can probably be quite persuasive, can't he? Why wouldn't you, if you're a multi-million selling artist with loads and loads of money burning a hole in your pocket, not want to go to Fortney?
And I don't know if, you know, he does have a song on the Blueprint called Takeover. So I don't know if that's a little bit of premonition. I don't know if that's like a sign that it might happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very good knowledge from you, Albert. I wouldn't have expected that from you, mate.
Yeah, quite fond of that album.
Public service announcement. Jay-Z has taken over Palace.
And he's got a blueprint for the club.
Yeah.
Move on.
Maybe it'd be suited more to buying Paris Saint-Germain. But there you go. Albert, Jairo Redewald player of the month. Discuss.
True.
Deserved.
Next question. Yeah, definitely. I mean, what else has happened of note apart from Jairo Wiedewald coming in and looking a bit of a boss in the middle of the park? To the point where I'm only really considering it now, but I am really struggling to think of an alternative.
I mean, it would only Wilf would be the only other option, I guess. Maybe Vicente. He's pulled off some good saves in this period.
But Wilf gets it unless there is someone like another like obvious candidate. Wilf just gets it by default because he's Wilf.
Because he's Wilf. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he is Wilf. Yeah. Hesketh, arguably off the back of his worst performance this season.
I was thinking that I watched. They did an interview with him about winning the award, and one of the clips they showed was him. To be fair, hitting a really good pass to Wilf against Wolves, but I did think when I saw that, well, he wasn't all that good against Wolves. I agree with Albert. I mean, I voted for him on the website. I think he's been brilliant, and it's good to see A, what he can do now that he's playing in the position that we know he should be, and B, that he's, you know, like came out of the team for a bit and came straight back in when he was available. So. It's good to see that Roy finally seems to have gotten round to our way of thinking.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to... we'll get into Luca being suspended and stuff like that. So he's going to keep his place for at least a few more games, assuming he stays fit. So it'll be interesting to see how he does then. Let's start getting into Leeds. So we've only won one of the last eight against Leeds in all competitions. So not our... best opponents, but can you remember, Hesketh and Albert, the last win was a 1-0 win at Selhurst. Neil Dan scored in the second minute. Bonus points for if you can remember anything else in that game.
Was there a goal? I've got pictures of Danny Mills in my head, but I don't know if Danny Mills... Was there a goal that wasn't given that was clearly over the line, a free kick or something?
No, I think so. This was I don't even know if Neil Dans actually is officially awarded with this goal or not in the records. I think actually if you go and dig, I think it's actually a Jermaine Easter goal because it deflected off Easter, if I remember rightly. But yeah, it's, Neil Dans is also sent off in this game later in the game. So that was your bonus point that you could get. I don't remember a free kick being over the line.
I think that we scored a goal that wasn't given in a cup game.
Yeah, that feels more like what I'm remembering.
I think we lost 2-1, and that would have equalised.
Yeah, maybe. I think that was.
But Leeds were still fairly big time in my head.
Yeah, Harry Kewell scored in that game. Yeah.
Yeah, Harry Kewell's playing. Yeah.
Fucking hell! There we go.
Right.
But on the flip of them being big time, I went up to see Palace lose at Elland Road. And Jerome Thomas played for them in that game. Do you remember how shit he was for Palace? And he absolutely ran the game.
Yeah.
And then he signed for Palace and was awful.
Didn't Jimmy Kebbe run a game against us as well for Reading once?
Oh, God. Yeah, he did. He also ran down the escalator at London Bridge, but past me when he was supposed to be injured. So that's probably the highlight of Jimmy Kebbe's
career. And he got his kitchen done at IKEA in Wembley because when I was inquiring about a kitchen wearing a Palace top, someone went, oh, one of your players in here last week. So who's that? They're like, Jimmy Kebbe. I was like, he's not a Palace player, mate.
Yeah, he don't count.
Count, mate.
Runs good at the poker table, I hear. But, a little poker joke for all you poker lovers out there. Right. But we're not off of this game yet. You need to get the starting 11 between the two of you. So you've got a freebie because I've told you it was Neil Dans.
Okay, what are we doing? Round robin?
Goalkeeper.
Oh,
Albert, you can have the goalkeeper.
Thanks. Oh, you want me to name the goalkeeper?
Yes.
It's got to be Speroni, isn't it?
Correct. Right back, Hesketh.
Oh, God. When was this?
2011.
Hang on. That's before Wardy. David Wright. Did he play?
David Wright did
no,
play.
No, hang on, it would have been Klein.
Yay. good, right. One of the two centre-backs then, Albert.
Christ. Paddy McCarthy.
Correct. Oh, look, he's on fire. 2 out of 2. Let's give the other centre-back.
I think it was the guy that should have won Player of the Year.
You're correct. You guys are on fire.
Gardner, Anthony Gardner.
Yes. Well done. Very good. Albert, left-back. Left-back.
Oh, this is a gamble. It's one of two. I'm going to go for the more obvious one. Clint Hill?
No, he'd gone by this point.
He'd gone by then. So was it Matty Lawrence?
No.
No, you're too early. You're too early.
Go on, you can for the steal. Moxie.
It was Dean Moxie.
Hey!
Okay, so then you've got the midfielders, the two of them anyway, because you've said David Wright. And Neil Dan's obviously scored the goal. So, Albert, you can redeem yourself with the other midfielder.
That's what we were playing, 4-3-3?
Yes.
Oh, then it
was. Well, yeah, so, yeah, I would say, yeah.
It wasn't who I would have said then.
Oh. We might have been playing 4-4-2 with Dan's on one wing, to be fair. So this guy, it was a centre midfielder, like, you know, sitting deep centre midfielder. Unless he was playing Peterborough.
Oh, hang on now.
Unless he was playing Peterborough. See, my head instantly went to, I was going to say Sean Scannell, but then you've said it's a centre midfielder, so it's obviously not him. And was it 2011? Yeah. And it's David, so far it's David Wright, Neil Dans.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
This guy might have tried to take some of Mamadou Sakho's diet pills, to be honest.
I know who this is now.
Was it me?
It was Albert Curley.
a fatty Bombatti in the central midfield? No, I've got nothing.
Another steal coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Correct. Hesketh, the
several KGs, I like to call it.
the other wing is a gimme, Hesketh.
Hang on, it was 4-3-3 a minute ago.
Well, I don't know. I did say it might have been 4-4-2 with Neil Dans playing one side.
Well, just because I assume he plays in every game after his debut, I'm going to go for Wilf.
Yes, it's Wilf. One of two players in that lineup still playing. Three in the lineup who's still with the club, if you count Paddy McCarthy. Is he still on the books as a player? Oh, okay. He probably is, isn't he? He's now the longest serving after Ryan Innes was let go. Right, now you've got two strikers to choose from, Albert.
You've already said Jermaine Easter, haven't you?
Yeah.
So, Jermaine Easter, okay, good.
Oh, so yeah. I was going to go James Vaughan.
James Vaughan did play in this game, but off the bench, didn't start.
Ugh. Who else was playing for us then? So it's annoying because it's like just before, you know, like the promotion team. You'll remember all of the promotion team. What was the name of that fucking guy who's played for Ipswich?
Well, if you remember,
Canago. Pablo Canago.
No,
it wasn't. Not him. I think he'd gone by this point. There you go, Stephanie.
Stephen Iverson. Oh, that's a shout. Yeah. That is a shout.
Yeah, because Iverson came in the January, didn't he? I think didn't Canago go in the at the end of December or something? He went back, and then we got Iverson in.
Kunyago is one of those players that for years and years and years and years, you're like, oh, I really wish he played for Palace. Really wish he played for Palace.
And then he did.
I'd love him to play for Palace. And then like 8 years later, it's like, oh, we got him. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Alan Lee tearing it up at Ipswich and then coming to Palace. And, but didn't he like, how many did he score? I remember he scored away at Middlesbrough when we lost.
Kunyago?
Yeah.
He can't have scored more than four.
No, nowhere near.
Yeah, nowhere.
Maybe two.
We know it's one. We know it's not more than four. That only leaves two and three.
Give me 1 second. It's two.
Okay. So he scored. I'm sure he scored, and we lost at Middlesbrough.
Did he?
Really scrambled goal, I seem to remember, against Middlesbrough.
He scored against Doncaster at home. Let me check. I'm not making that up because I'm pretty sure he did.
And how we celebrated.
We went wild. Yeah.
Eight years I've been waiting for this.
Yep, there we go. Doncaster at home. I have no idea how I remember that because he was not a memorable player at all, was he?
Well, other than being excited when he came in, no. What a weird time that was to be a Palace fan. That 2010-11 season was very, very bizarre.
Yeah, it was.
Strange.
Especially
season.
Considering how good we were, like, not that long afterwards.
Well, I mean, if you look at that team as what is only a couple stayed, really. It was a complete rebuild. So Sproni, Moxie, KG and Zaha, and then outside that, everyone else is gone pretty much.
Yeah.
Easter hung around a little bit, but I think was then gone. Iverson, Neil Dan's obviously pissed off to Leicester, didn't he? And immediately come back and scored against us. Twat. I was really gutted, Albert. I was trying to rip one of his songs off of YouTube, but couldn't get it to work in a few minutes before the game.
Summer Flowers, I hope.
I don't know. This
That's
was
one of the early ones, mate. That's a deep cut.
It was something to do with keeping your head up or something. It even had a video on YouTube. It might have been the worst
about,
video.
Is that the one about headbutting Graham Dorans? No,
not that one. Didn't he elbow him? Was it a headbutt?
No, it's headbutt.
Headbutt.
I'm sure it was headbutt.
Yeah, wow, that was mad.
Yeah.
I went for a whole pack of Imodium in that game. I was so sick, but I had to be there. anyway.
Rock and roll, man.
I mean, that's definitely more memorable than Pablo Camargo, so it's got that going for it.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Funtime videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Anyway, talking of shit, let's get back into Palace. Brendan Rodgers talking about Leeds after their 4-1 win, Leicester's 4-1 win against them on the weekend. Or was it Monday night? It might have been Monday night. He said, you've got to deny them space. Don't let it turn into a basketball game, basically. Otherwise, they can then play with anyone. But
they pick the ball up.
No, they do not pick the ball up. But this sort of thing, this sounds like a lot of what Brendan Rodgers talks about in and around this game. And you can go ahead, there's videos on YouTube about it where he was talking. I mean, it's a video where he's talking about his tactics against Leeds, but he's also got his tongue so far up Mauricio Pochettino's arse during this interview. It's ridiculous as well, but that's one to look out for. But Heskey, if that sounds like it suits us, right? You deny them space, you defend tightly, and then they're going to leave you gaps on all over the field if you're good when you're in possession.
Well, I definitely don't think we're going to make it a basketball game. So I think that's ticked off the list.
Free scoring Palace.
I mean, yeah, you know, look, we can be very well drilled and well organised and keep it tight against the opposition, but also, you know, against Wolves, we gave their wing back so much space that, you know, it ruined us for the whole game. And You know, I just think Leeds are probably capable of doing the same thing. So in, on paper, yeah, it would suit us in that respect. But, you know, in reality, if they find a way in and we don't change it, which we didn't until, well, I don't think we did really at all, certainly not until it was too late against Wolves. I think we're gonna struggle a bit. So yeah, we'll have to be on our A game, I think, honestly.
Yeah, no, it was, we did struggle against Wolves to an extent, but we also did score what was an offside goal. If Patrick Van Aanholt delays his run a little bit, we win a penalty. We had a clear penalty turned down. So Albert, were we harshly done by in that game? Do you think it could have been very different, especially if our players just hold their runs a little bit?
Yes, obviously it could have been different. But I don't think that if we'd have won that game, you know, obviously, you know, goals change games. And if we'd have won that game based on the rest of the performance, we'd have probably sat here and said, well, we got away with that one a bit. You know, there were two opportunities that, yeah, like you say, a matter of, you know, a millisecond or half a yard, and we got two really good chances of getting two goals in the game. But I don't think overall we can say that we deserved anything more than what we got, to be honest. Wolves were far superior. We did our classic sort of sit back and, you know, looked a bit lost at times. And, you know, we sit here every week and say we don't create many chances. And again, apart from the two not very contentious decisions made by ref and VAR to deny us those opportunities, I don't think we can sit here and say we gave a very good account of ourselves and Wolves didn't deserve the win, because quite frankly, they did.
Took the lead, Hesketh, through another Frenchman, one we were linked with.
Yeah.
It was all frustration all around.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. I texted our friend of the show, Miserable Dave, and was like, just an FYI that they've got a guy making a debut that we were after for quite a while and didn't sign. And then texted him off at halftime saying, you're welcome, because I knew he'd... He always has to have something specific to moan about, and it was nice to give him that. I thought he played quite well that 8 Nuri. I mean, it was definitely a penalty for his foul on Wilf. But going forward, I thought he looked very good. And it's a sort of performance that I would love to see from, you know, PVA or Mitchell, whoever. And I think they're capable. PVA certainly is capable of it. I just think we need to, you know, let him have a go a bit more.
Well, if you look back, we've also in the past linked with Semedo, who now plays right back for Wolves, but he did end up going to Barcelona when we were linked with him, so maybe it was a bit optimistic. But yeah, is this a good sign, Albert, that we are being, our scouting network starting to get a bit better and we are looking at the right players? Because for whatever, I think the reason we didn't get 8 Nuri was because of an injury, wasn't it, maybe? I think he broke his jaw quite seriously, whatever. But it's a good sign that we're looking at the right players that are all getting big moves, even if we're not quite getting them over the line at the moment.
We can all say we've looked at the good players and wish we signed them, can't we? Like, yeah, no, it's...
A bit like when we were offered Van Dijk for 8 million.
Yeah, but what was the reason we didn't sign him? I can't remember. What did Warnock say?
Someone said he wasn't fast enough. Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be exposed in the Premier League because of his pace. Yeah. something like that. Like, I mean, this is Neil Warnock, who did he sell Leon Cork because he didn't have enough scars on his face for a centre back?
You haven't got enough yellow cards. You're sat.
What was the question? Is our scouting network getting better? I mean, yeah, it is. You know, even things like, I know it's a player that, you know, sort of has started making his name in this country. But, you know, the fact that we'd sort of focused on trying to get players like Eze and you know, and even Ferguson, you know, we're not now reliant on, I mean, this James, you know, James McCarthy isn't a too distant memory of a signing, but, you know, we always like to go for more experienced players who are sort of, you know, only one or two contracts away from, you know, being over the hill. So there's definitely been an improvement and a focus on getting in younger talent. Obviously, we've only sort of, again, in terms of Ferguson and Eze, we've only cast the net as far as the Championship. But, you know, you like to think that we're trying to attract younger, cheaper talent that, you know, not all of them come off, not all of them turn into first team players, but it's better than signing the obvious ones that are sort of floating around looking for one final payday.
Well, one of those youngsters is Ebe Eze, Hesketh, and I mean, a lot of fans are saying, especially after his cameo against Wolves, that we've got to find a way to get him into the first team. But if Brendan Rodgers has so accurately pointed out that the blueprint is to deny him space, I don't think it's going to be this weekend, is it?
No, and considering also that one of the few quotes I've seen from Roy about Eze is he needs to learn the defensive side of the game. It doesn't really augur that well for him playing a great deal, which is a shame because I think he, like you say, in his cameos, he's looked very good. And I think when he can link up with players like Wilf, and I said it on the pod last week, you know, that we had a little bit against Fulham of him, Wilf, PVA and Gyro. And they're just obviously technically very good. Eze looks very forward thinking, you know, he wants to go forward with the ball. He's exactly what we've needed and, you know, what we're all excited about when he signed. So it would be nice if we actually bloody saw him for more than sort of 15 minutes at the end of a game.
Well, what did you think of him for the few minutes that he played in the middle after Luka got sent off? I felt like he's still dropping the shoulder in there and not caring. And it would be bold to have that, but I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, it would be bold. But like I've said, and I think we've all said in the show, it's like we might as well give it a go, you know. Obviously, I don't expect us to go gung-ho, you know, seven man up front or whatever. But if you've got players who can affect the game positively by getting the ball in the middle and moving it forward, then it seems a bit stupid to spend all that money on a player that's been lauded as, you know, the best player in the Championship. And everyone, like all the pundits saying he's going to be some player, you know, he's going to be brilliant, just let him loose. It seems a bit stupid to not give it a go every now and again.
Now, Albert, you've got your hand up that you said I should remind you to wash.
Yeah, that's the right one. Do you think Eze suffering from the fact that Wilf's playing this more sort of free role up top? Do you think if Wilf was strictly out wide, there'd be room for Eze maybe in a sort of number 10 behind the striker role?
No, I think. He's been struggling to get game time mainly because Andros Townsend has decided to pull his foot out of his arse. And foot out of his arse, isn't it? Finger out of his arse is the expression, isn't it?
I mean, neither's good.
But he's, you know, he's got a couple of goals or at least one goal. He's got some assists. And, you know, obviously Roy loves the defensive output from Andros as well. So in that sense, it's probably that that's keeping him out. And perhaps the formation as well, we could squeeze them all in if we went back to playing a more sort of traditional Palace 4-2-3-1, and you could play him in behind the striker. But yeah, at the moment, I just Jeff Schlupp's in at left on the left hand side, and that's how it's going to be, isn't it? You know, Hodgson loves Schlupp, loves the work he does off the ball as well. So with his two favourite defensive wingers, both fit and in form, according to him, I don't think there's going to be anything for him at the moment. And then Hesketh, there's that worry then that is he the new Max Meyer? Your chance to impress is 15 minutes off the bench when we're 1-0 down.
Yeah, in a position that you're not used to playing in.
Exactly.
That is a bit of a worry, to be fair. I think the only positive in that respect is he signed a 5-year contract and Roy's probably gone in the summer. Which sounds harsh to Roy, but it would be a shame if that does happen, because that means you've had a whole season where he's just been sat on the bench and you're not getting the most out of a player that's legitimately exciting. You know, I think we're allowed to have more than one exciting player. I know we've got Wilf and he is arguably the most exciting player we've ever had, certainly that I've seen. But it's all right to have two. I think someone needs to tell Roy it's all right. You can...
Doesn't mean just because we've got them doesn't mean they have to play though.
All right, Roy. Who let Roy in?
We signed him so no one else could. That was basically our game plan.
Basically,
here.
Roy's too old for that much excitement. I think I've nailed it. Like if it's too exciting on the pitch, Roy's at risk.
there you go. That's what we're looking for. Well, I mean, Luke is now out for 3 matches, as we previously talked about. Albert, you thought it was a Stonewall red, but a bit, you know, unfortunate, but it was a red. You surprised that we appealed it?
I always find the appeal thing like a bit weird when it's not something that's completely like, you know, if and judging by, you know, our WhatsApp groups and the reaction on Twitter, like it seemed pretty 50-50 in that people like, oh, that's not a red, and people that were red. And I think if it's 50-50, you're never going to get it overturned. So what's the point in appealing? But I guess it was worth appealing because, you know, I think the thing is that, you know, the ball, he gets the ball a bit, but it's what, you know, it's everything else around it. You know, it is studs up. It is kind of, you know, it's high. You know, everyone's saying, oh, he was really late. I don't think he was particularly late myself. It's just one of those things where he's gone in, you know, it's misleading. And that's what sort of made me think, oh, it's a bit harsh, but, you know, he gets the ball. But like I say, it's what he does to the geezer's leg. So it's it's not the biggest injustice in the world.
No, I don't think you can be late when you get the ball. I think it's clearly just a follow through. And Heskey, if getting the ball isn't the rules anymore, is it? If you follow through and you endanger the other player, it's a red card.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a red all day long. And it's another thing where people say, oh, we didn't mean to do it. Well, I mean, people don't mean to give away penalties, but they give away penalties. You know, people don't mean to be a second too late, but they are. Whether I'm sure he didn't go in thinking I'm going to annihilate this bloke's ankle.
Do you think Roy Keane meant to do David Buss, like chop his leg in two? No, it wasn't Buss, was it? It wasn't Buss. Buss no, was the accidental one.
Alfinger Haaland.
Yeah.
What was it he said? What was it he screams at him when he's on the floor? Pretty sure it involves a C word, which I know.
Paul Pogba should be doing more in midfield. I don't know. I can't remember. I mean, do we care?
I think it was take that, you.
I mean, producer Sam's going to be furious.
The first C-bomb of the episode, and it's not me. So thanks, Albert.
I mean,
you're welcome.
Yeah, I mean,
I think if you're quoting someone, it's allowed, isn't it?
We'll find out, won't we?
I'm just checking the quote now.
Producer Sam went out and bought a sleigh today, and even the joy of owning a sleigh isn't going to get her over the fact that she now has to bleep a C-bomb from Albert. You're a disgrace. It's not going to be the quote either, is it?
it's going to turn out the quote was like, oh, you're right. Sorry about that.
Right. Instead of just filling, let's fill with something relevant. Heskey, is it just James McArthur comes back in?
Yep.
I can't see it being anything different.
I mean, it should be anyway, even if Luca wasn't suspended, in my opinion. But yeah, I think it should. Him and Gyro have been good this season. They've been the best. I think they're the best two that we can play. They complement each other really well. They work really hard, which, as you say, you know, if we're trying to keep it tight against a team like Leeds, you need to have a lot of energy in your midfield. So yeah, I think he'll come back, he'll slot in, it'll be no problem. I think we'll probably be better for it, to be honest. So probably the easiest decision Roy will make this season.
Okay, exactly right. Albert, did you get any joy?
Yes, I think so. Would you believe it? Any references to it have been starred out. So I can't necessarily say that the four-letter word here is the C word, but leave it with me.
Yeah, he did. I fucking hit him hard, Keane admitted. The ball was there, I think. Take that, you...
You four-letter word.
But that's what he wrote in his book. So whether that's actually what he said to him.
Come on, you're going to split hairs?
Well, I think he did indeed. But Right. I think we'll just get into predictions then. Albert, Billy Big Bollocks, Neil Mope of the pod, when it comes to predictions, what you got for us?
2-1. Take that, you
To Leeds or Palace?
To Palace.
Okay.
But the one will be scored by Patrick Bamford.
God.
Billy Big Bollocks?
He missed an absolute sitter against Leeds. Leicester, sorry, from about 3 yards out. But we all know about those missing sitters. What about you, Hesketh? What's the score going to be? I know you think Bamford's going to score as well.
Yeah, I'm going to flip it. It'll be 2-1 to Leeds. And Patrick Bamford will score 2. And Michy will have a goal disallowed for offside.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's nailed on.
Yeah, it goes without saying. It is
the sky is blue, in other words. Right, I'll go for, I don't know, I'll go for 1-1. No Patrick Bamford goals. But he might go down softly to win a penalty or something. Does he take their penalties? I don't know. 1-1. I'll go with 1-1. That is slightly optimistic because I do think we're probably going to lose, aren't we? But we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what I think anymore. We're going to end it here, mainly because I've just read what Albert's written in our WhatsApp group about Brendan Rodgers. So it's not to be shared on the pod, but I definitely want to hear it. So we've got an international break coming up. We'll be back after that normal time, the Thursday after in your ears. Any idea who we've got? We've got an easy run of games, haven't we? Shouldn't be taking all the points. Burnley? Anyone?
Burnley and then Newcastle, I think.
Sorry, I was just thrown that you said easy run of games. thought, what are you fucking on about?
It won't. I mean, Burnley have 1 point. I mean,
well, they'll soon have 4.
Oh, you're probably right. Okay, anyway, look, until next time, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.